Hi, I'm Justin Boyd.
I'm a hero of Godolkin, maybe.
I'm Kate's right arm.
I'm Tristan Jones.
And we are the Watchers in the Basement.
Welcome to the Watchers in the Basement. We are here today to discuss season one, episode 8 of the Amazon Prime series, Gen V, the season finale of Gen V, episode titled Guardians of Godolkin. And let's not waste any time. Let's get right to our thoughts on the episode. Brittany, I'm going to you first. What'd you think of the season finale of Gen V?
That was a fantastic season finale. I mentioned to you earlier, Justin, that I think I got a little spoiled to some of the, you know, behind the scenes sort of ordeal with this finale. And it still didn't disappoint me or anything like that, because the cameo of someone that is very well known in The Boys is here in this finale. That was cool. Saw it happening. Didn't foresee what he was going to do. And by he, I'm referring to Homelander. Spoilers, people, in case you haven't tuned into our pods before, we do have spoilers. So yeah, seeing Homelander was cool. I remember seeing something on Twitter saying the actor that plays Homelander wasn't acting, because man, he makes you feel all types of things. So that was cool. I absolutely love the fact that this is going to hand off to the season premiere of The Boys. The story is going to continue from what I've read. Supposedly, when The Boys premieres, it's going to take place just a couple of days after the events of Godolkin. So I'm here for it. Really great episode. I do have a couple of things that just didn't work with me, or I wasn't okay with, but we'll get to that when we get to that. So Frank, I'm going to toss it to you. What did you think of this finale?
I wish it was longer. It didn't seem that long. I think that the runtime was like 38 minutes. For finales, knowing Amazon, I'm not gonna be on for a while. So I will give me an hour, man. Give me an hour of this toxic, high octane ride, man. Like I love the cameo, of course. Even the cameo, you don't know. The sheer presence of Homelander is just it's so, you don't know what he's gonna do, so you're on the edge of your seat the whole fucking time, even for the 30 seconds he was on camera. This show is giving me like a combination of like X-Men Dark Phoenix saga. Like Kate's reminded me more of Dark Phoenix the more I look at it. Like, you know, in comic books, Charles Xavier and Magneto was X-Men at the time, and like they go to Jean Grey's house and they trying to bring in this powerful mutant while Charles Xavier is trying to control her and like has her in psychosis. A part of her in psychosis is kind of the same thing with Kate, and I think she's becoming more of a central character in this series, because you're starting to see how powerful she is. Like she had the whole like soup academy under the woods under the school, like on attack just by her command. You know, she has a weapon in Sam that she's using, you know, as a bazooka. Like her power is, it's so much like Jean Grey when it comes to like this Dark Phoenix split personality that she has, and this anger towards humankind. I can't wait to see how it spills into The Boys. And I can't wait to see what they do with the Kate character and Sam as well, because these are very powerful characters, and I think that they're gonna really play a huge part in both these shows coming up. Speaking of season 2 of Gen V and season 4 of The Boys, so I mean, I loved that. I just wish it was longer.
I mean, agreed. I loved it. wish it was longer. That shit was wild. That was like, you know, like multiple people sent me like Instagram messages with the same like posts, like, hey, that shit is wild, like verbatim. And that shit was pretty wild. I loved it. The thing I loved most about it was, you know, our titular character, Marie, again, like tapping into like the inner sanctums of her powers and like really understanding what she can do. Man, like between her and Kate and Sam, like, you have three of the most, I think, the most powerful soups in the entire world, in that entire universe. So like I love how they kind of did like a very quick flashback to her going back to what Victoria Newman was trying to show her and teach her about these powers. And like that, it came in clutch. But like when we really, really think about this finale, we're really thinking about the last, 15 minutes of it, which were fucking amazing. You know, after Kate frees the suits from the woods, the finale like takes a complete jump, like two steps up, two levels. It was just a really wild finale. We talked about it last week. This show has the capacity to like to do cliffhangers in a way that only The Boys can, right? Where they can just completely throw you off everything. Just end it. Like, hey, somebody got shot in the head. Okay, see you next week. You know, like this, like we don't, like, we'll get to like the progression of the episode, but like what happens at the very end, we don't know how that happened. We don't know how they're supposed to get out of this situation, who all is involved. Very well done. Again, like just the way that like, they do cliffhangers, because they absolutely left on a cliffhanger. And it could have been even worse. Like if they didn't flash to like, you know, all of them in that room, which we'll talk about, and they just ended on, you know, Homelander and Marie's exchange, that would have been some sick shit.
Yeah.
That I would have been outside Amazon Studios protesting. Like I need to know, but it kept me on the edge of my seat. Wish it was longer, of course, but I also think that when you have certain plot lines that are kind of straightforward, you know, to where that particular plot line was going, I didn't need an hour long, you know, if you're just going to end it on a cliffhanger. But I mean, for selfish reasons, we wanted that to be longer just to keep that action going. But I loved it.
Yeah, I agree with the, you know, the runtime. It was only 39 minutes, which made it the shortest episode of the season. But in like typical Boys / Gen V fashion, they pack a lot into the show. You know, I really, you're talking about, Tristan, you're talking about had they just ended after Homelander. So Homelander makes a cameo, and also Butcher is in the mid-credit scene. So you got the two signature characters of the Boys in the finale. So I thought that was a you know, great touch by them to obviously, you know, give that show that kind of rub by having your major characters show up at the very end. Both of them are very briefly seen, but both of them have an impact. And I think obviously Homelander had a bigger impact in this episode. And whenever he lasered Marie, for a split second, I want to get y'all's thoughts on this. I thought she was dead, because this show, no one is safe. It's much like Game of Thrones, like the first, really all of Game of Thrones, but the first seven seasons, certainly. I thought she was dead. Brittany, what'd you think about that?
Well, quick shout out to our fellow watcher, Amber, who's in the chat. She says, very interesting to see when I've not seen any of the previous episodes yet. She's not spoiled to spoilers. She loves spoilers, y'all. So it's good. Happy you're here, Amber. So what was your question?
Sorry. No, the reaction to whenever Homelander used the laser eyes on
Marie, so,
I thought she was dead. And I was like, wow, this show is going to kill the main character, like the hero of the season.
Right.
I was like, this is surprising, but maybe I shouldn't be surprised. And then, of course, we learned that she's actually in some, you know, sealed off hospital with Jordan and Andre and who's other person? Emma. So that moment, Brittany, did you think that RIP to Marie?
I think I was more shocked than anything, because as we've learned from Game of Thrones, that unless you've seen someone die on screen with your own two eyes, no one's dead. Let's just be real. So of course it cuts to black. It goes next to like Vought, where Homelander is watching that Cameron Coleman, who's like a big, you know, Vought news anchor person, who's reporting on the massacre at Godolkin University. And the four that were involved are our heroes, you know, Marie, Emma, Andre, and Jordan. And the guardians of Godolkin, excuse me, the new guardians of Godolkin that are Sam and Kate, have saved the day. And you see like this expression on Homelander's face, like, oh, like, you know, that's what I want to see, right? So the idea that, yes, Justin, I was surprised to see him do that to Marie, like laser her. Not entirely surprised. But this is where I have a slight issue, one of my slight issues, where he lands, talks to Marie as if, like, you know, she's beneath him. And he's like, what kind of animal are you? And she's like, what? He's like, do you like attacking your own kind? And then proceeds to attack his own kind. Like, you dummy. Does irony not, like, fall on you by any means necessary? It's so stupid to me. But that's just Homelander, right? He's going to intimidate the hell out of you. And just the less than 1 minute screen time or speaking time that he had, he intimidates the hell out of you, right? So to see that cutaway to the news report, he smiles, and then it cuts to Marie waking up with the rest of the gang. I thought maybe she was like in a dreamlike state more than anything, not so much maybe a prisoner in what I assume is somewhere inside Vought, just because we've seen that before with Starlight when she was in a holding cell of some kind. So yeah, I wonder what the game is. I mean, for Homelander to like ill fellow soups at a soup university probably is a bad look for my guy, right? So
all people are recording, by the way.
All people are recording, right? Exactly, right? He's already having to face, or supposedly will face, a trial for killing that one Starlight fan, right? So wouldn't it be a good look for our dude Homelander? So I'm pretty sure this is just going to be like a PR cover up. In the meanwhile, our suit friends are probably going to be the next subjects of the woods. Just a theory.
Okay. Or interesting maybe, theory.
Maybe they'll just be tortured. I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. Okay.
Frank, what'd you think about? Did you think Marie was a goner when Homelander got her with the laser eyes?
Not even close. No, oh. I didn't think so. Only because what this show has been doing over the course of this season, they've been unveiling nuggets of like Marie's power. And you saw it in the finale when she saved everybody in the helicopter, and for the first time you saw her kind of like not only manipulate, you know, blood, but like I think it was like 6-7 bodies that she just derived blood from and to save the group in the helicopter. To me, that was telling me and showing me that, look, there's more to come with this character. We're just scratching the surface, and it wouldn't have made sense to show that leveling up of her discovering another level of power, only to like take out the game in the finale. Even with the vice president elect or vice president candidate, when that conversation they had in episode, I want to say it was episode 6, of like what she can do. I don't think you have that conversation only to take her out 2 episodes later. I think you have that conversation with her to like showcase, hey, this Marie character is going to be a primetime player for seasons on end from here on out. So no, I didn't think she was going to be done or at the game in this episode. I think there's more to come with this character. Mm-hmm. Like Kate, I think we're going to see more graduation of her powers. Because what's so interesting with her is that when you watch The Boys, for the most part, all those heroes and villains in The Boys, they're at the height of their power. They know what they can do. They've maxed out what they can do. And Gen V, these kids are still learning who they are. And with our main character, she's still trying to discover what she can be and what she can do. And I think we're about 4 or 5 levels away. I think we're going to see more amazing shit by her. I can pretty much almost guarantee that how they get out is going to be because of her in the next season when it does come back out.
Yeah, I can see that. Or if they're being like experimented on or something and they break free that way. Tristan, what were you? Did you think that the Marie was done?
I mean, in a split second, yeah. So, like, Homelander eye laser, like 2 + 2 = 4. Like that, very rarely does that equal 5, you know what I'm saying? So, but you know, the practical part of your brain kicks in quickly is like, and luckily they did a quick kind of brief after the news segment thing, propaganda.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, you have to consider it in TV and like just the way that everybody's looking for this capacity to shock, you know, their viewers, like you have to consider it, but it just didn't seem practical. Like I agree with everything Frank just said about it. I'm surprised they didn't actually show the blast, like show her taking the blast. If you really want to encapsulate how she has these powers that are, you know, much deeper and much stronger than even she knows, I would have liked for them to show the blast and show her taking that blast. But, you know, maybe we'll get we'll get to see that in like season 2, episode 1, like a flashback of that. But I would love to see that. I'm shocked they didn't show that.
Well, and then I wonder, like, how did he round up the other three, or did he also, you know, hit them with the laser eyes also? Like, it was just kind of like.
Where are Kate and Sam at this point? Right.
Right.
Where are they? So I have a question I want to pose to everyone, kind of piggybacking off something Frank had said about how Marie's powers are obviously, we're scratching the surface. She's developing her skills a lot more and seeing that she can use them for good. Right. So before Homelander showed up, Kate was coming after Jordan, right? Kate was going to touch Jordan. Who knows what she would have asked Jordan to do or whatever. But Marie, I kind of interpreted it as Marie like panicked when she extended her hand and blew off Kate's arm. Because to me, it seemed very reminiscent of when Marie accidentally killed her parents, right? Like in a moment of panic, she can't really control her powers, right? She just knows something bad's about to happen right in front of her. So my question, and whoever wants to answer first, my question is, with her blowing off Kate's arm, how far are we away from her blowing off people's heads?
I think I'll jump in. I think it's close, and I think it's also a matter of want to. I don't think she has the malicious intentions with her powers. That, like, she's only using them for good. You know, we haven't seen her, you know, use them for any type of selfish gain, any type of malicious intent. But man, once they get deep into it, like, and these wars start jumping off where it's literally life or death. Like you said, the panic move she did for Jordan was like, yeah, Kate's super dangerous and Jordan is her friend. Like, and that emotion caused her to like act really quickly. Like, just imagine her with like time to like process what she wants to do with these powers to like the fullest extent. She's gonna be a monster, a beast, like in the best way.
Justin, Frank, y'all want to add to that or have any other thoughts? I can talk. Other thoughts.
I think we see it not anytime soon. I think, to add on what you're saying, I think we will see her popping off, but I think and only in regards of like protecting her loved ones, like her sister, if she shows up next season, if something happens to Jordan or the main other three of the Guardians of the Ghost, Guardians of the Godolkin, like push come to shove, because like everybody has a breaking point, even and I think a lot of times in these shows and movies with the protagonist, that's the human element, right? Like everybody has a weak point, and when something or somebody's being threatened that you care about, a lot of times that side comes out, and I think. With the show creating that connection between what's her name, the vice president candidate,
Victoria Newman.
The show creating this vortex between Marie and Victoria Newman, how similar their powers are. I don't think they put that there for no reason. I think I think we could see a situation where we have Marie as a centralized, moral compass person, but a singular event happens and you see Victoria Newman type behaviors. But the writing has to be on point. And I think it's going to be incremental steps to like it getting to that point. This war that happened on campus, this is like, to me, that's just the scratch of the surface. It's going to get shit worse come season two of Gen V. Like, and another thing I wonder too, because we haven't really seen it. How is the public perception now of Supes? Cause like, I know, Homelander killing that the old buddy in the finale of The Boys. We haven't seen too much of like human reaction. I mean, the human response to what he did. And now with this wood shit of all these kids coming out killing humans, is it beyond PR fixing for Vought? Is it one of those things where the human race in general is going to want Supes just out of here? Homelander was the gold standard, right? When it comes to superheroes, he was like Captain America. Now that they see that side, and now with, you know, now with what happened in the woods, I want to see what the human element, the human response of like just society in this moment of how they feel about Supes.
Don't forget Stormfront too, like Stormfront. Exactly. And like but I wonder how many people are going to find out. Like, did the PR, did the cover up, is it that effective that you don't even find out about the humans who got killed at Godolphin? Mm-hmm. Like, because they on that shit like quickly. Like Ashley and them, like obviously they're not coming to Marie and Jordan and Andre and Emma to their defense. So like, has Vought already started to like tighten up, you know, the stories and the narratives coming out of that to protect the Supes involved, and just in general, like protecting their golden cash cows. So yeah, we'll see.
That's the question I was going to ask y'all, because I don't totally understand. In the finale, you know, obviously Kate and Sam, you know, Kate leads this revolt from, you know, she frees the people from the woods, and these Supes go and kill non-Supes. That's what they're targeting. And at the end, of course, they're fighting. It's like soup on soup violence. And, you know, then, you know, once Homelander comes and takes care of what's happening, I'm not really sure why they made it out to be that, like, you know, Sam, or they made it out where Marie and Jordan and Emma and Andre are the, you know, they're the ones who started this whole thing. And then they paint Kate and Sam as the heroes. I don't really understand that decision. Do y'all have any theories on it?
I do. Go for it, Frank.
The paper trail. You don't want the general public to know that human beings are experimenting on Supes, and especially in a vile, animalistic way that they're doing with this woods. I mean, the woods, Shady Grove, or Shady, whatever that shit was, and The Boys, like
Sage Grove.
Like, yeah. Like all
better
like
name, all of, actually.
Yeah. So Sage,
I mean,
Grove,
like,
the woods.
Both sides. Like, I don't understand. Like, why wouldn't you imprison all six characters? Like, I'm not sure. Like, why you would hold up, like, the two that actually started it and actually killed people. Like, you're making them out to be heroes. I don't understand, like, what they have to gain. I mean, besides the fact that those two characters are white, right? Like, but
that was my theory.
Okay. maybe that's just what it is. Yeah.
Maybe Stormfront actually, like, rubbed off on, well, in other ways, rubbed off on Homelander.
But Emma's white too, though. And Emma's
but arrested. She wasn't with the revolt, right? She was not supportive of that. She was.
But Homelander was sitting under arrest. Revolt.
Was he?
You don't think he was?
Homelander marches to a beat of his own drum.
No, but Ashley called him because, like, her.
That
life
don't
was
mean
in
shit.
Danger.
That don't mean shit. Ashley Homelander told Homelander told Ashley. Yeah, I mean, like, Ashley's his bitch. Like, that's all there is to it. He calls the shots here. He's gonna do whatever he
right.
wants.
Okay. I mean, if you're telling me that Homelander's irrational and that's his plan, or that's his, yes, you know, then that's okay. That's it. Otherwise, I don't really understand why you wouldn't just keep all six of them.
Because to keep everything hush hush, I mean, I don't think Kate and Sam are going to come out publicly and say this is what, you know, they were, what Vaught and them were doing.
No, they're just going to kill people. Woods.
Yeah, they're going to be, they're going to ascend to the seven, I'm going to guess, or at least one of them will. And you're going to keep them happy and you're going to keep them quiet. And that's it. Whereas Jordan, Andre, Marie, and Emma, they're going to speak out against what was happening at Godolkin.
And then plus Kate and Sam was killing, they were killing humans. So they didn't.
Yeah.
So like with Vaught, Vaught's in the business of protecting and weaponizing superheroes and soups. So Kate and Sam aren't against the Vaught narrative per se. The other four, they're trying to bring down Godolkin, Vaught, and everything of Vaught.
Everybody.
So those four are a threat. And because they know with those four, everything else is going to pop, it's going to come to the light. The Woods, all the experimenting with the soups, you know, even getting back to the boys. So those four are a bigger threat than the other two that release all the soups from the Woods.
But does Vaught know that the four know all that stuff? Because
Shetty, you don't think Sam and Kate would have spilled?
Well, I mean, we didn't see it. Like what I'm saying, I'm just going off what we've seen on the show. You know what I'm saying? Like to me, I really don't understand.
Yeah. It
doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, I'm guessing with Andre being locked up, presumably at Vaught, his dad's not long for this world either. Polarity, I mean, aside from his own medical emergencies and such, because he too knew about the Woods and was, you know, complicit and all that stuff. He's not long for this world.
And also too, I think Vaught, I think another reason why Vaught's keeping, you know, Marie and Polarity, I mean Andre and them alive is because these are powerful beings. Like you wanna, if you're gonna rid of them, you wanna find a way to weaponize their power and like sample that shit and like you know, find a way to like multiply that. Like they're test subjects now. They're probably
that's what I'm saying.
The summa cum laude of test subjects. These are some of the most powerful, powerful soups in this boy's universe. So
he said summa cum laude of test subjects.
Yeah, I mean, this funny is our, to me. Yeah, I mean, like you know, Marisa, she's a, her and Andre are like candidates to join the seven one day. Like they're in that ilk. You know what I'm saying? They're like what, top three or top four in the Godolkin rankings or whatever. So.
That yeah. and they at least, well, Marie at least openly said no to Ashley about killing the people who were causing this revolt. Kate, you know, namely Kate, right? And she's like, no, not going to do that. So, I mean, if you're not with Vaught, then you're against Vaught. Super not, it seems so.
And then something tells me, too, they're going to use Marie's sister against her.
Did.
But they're not gonna stop though. I mean, they're gonna keep doing because like she's so powerful, and you don't think Ashley, seeing what not just Ashley but the rest of the group in the helicopter saw what Marie did to save their life, they're saying, oh shit, we got a gold mine with this soup. We got to do what we can to weaponize that power.
I mean, homeboy said he's gonna use that in his next movie, so you know. Yeah. That's what you do. You capitalize on all this shit. crazy.
All the more reason to make her a member of the seven, not imprison her.
but if you give her a platform,
yeah,
you give her a platform, she's gonna spill. That's the problem.
They just went through that with Starlight, you know, like, speaking out against the system, the shield. Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that I doubt that Sam and Kate are just left to run free at their own devices, right? I mean, that wouldn't make any sense at all.
Well, Kate's already been under the thumb of Vaught forever.
Yeah.
Like, they've been already manipulating her. So not only do they still have her in the fold, but they should know that she controls Sam. So, like,
bingo.
These are two of them, like I said, the two of the most powerful, two of the most dangerous young soups. You can keep them under wraps, especially if you got Homelander there basically as your babysitter. Like, hey, you step out of line, you're fucking Homelander. That would be my theory as to why they were kept and out and not in prison like the other ones.
I do have a question. going back to the four that are in the white padded room, we saw earlier on Emma didn't have like a huge, huge part in this finale, but something different happened to her with regards to her powers, right? She's looking for Sam. And this is the other thing I didn't like about Sam in general, how quickly he flipped and how quickly he flipped his views on being like, not so much being a suit, but like on Emma. Yeah, he flipped it on her, like gaslighting her, basically saying like, you know, you come and save me. I didn't ask you to. And you say, Sam, do this. And Sam, don't kill people. And Sam, this, you know, and I understand their idea of normal are two very different schools of thought, right? Sam was tortured. He is who he is based on what has happened to him in so many instances. But we also understand the norm of not killing people, right? And so the way that he spoke to her and how she, you know, was trying to reason with him, and I appreciate her like having to raise her voice. All that being said, I really just didn't like how quickly he flipped, especially with her. And then he made her feel so small, so insignificant. And then she quite literally became small, right? So
wait till purging. I tell you about 18 to 22 year old young men and their ability to change their mind.
Listen, been there, over that. Got it. No, but the very fact that she's now, it seems she's able to become very small, but it seems like she has to feel so distraught, I guess you could say. I'm not sure what the emotion it is that I'm trying to convey here, but that was unusual. So purging and overeating may not be the only way that she can change size. I just thought that was just very interesting.
Yeah, I was going to ask Tristan about this, because Tristan, you were on this one of the first episodes of the season, because you were saying like how her, you know, her powers are pretty impractical, or it's very like difficult for her to, in a pinch, like either, you know, eat a lot of food or throw up a lot, you know, to get, whether she needs to get big or small. Mm-hmm. And as we saw here, you know, emotionally she was affected, and that's how she got small. So what did you think about that kind of revelation, that there's other ways for her to trigger her powers?
I mean, that was the thought, is I'm glad, I guess, it happened in the finale, but like, we have to, in season two, we have to explore like the alternative ways that she is able to like get bigger, get smaller. Since we now know that emotions play some type of part in it, I want to know, what is the most convenient way for her to enlarge herself or to shrink herself? You know, without having to consume something, without having to depend on, you know, ambiguous feelings. Like, what is the most convenient and quick way? Because you can't be a superhero if, you know, there's this long drawn out process, like peeling shrimp or some shit. Like, you gotta do it X, Y, and Z in order to get bigger and get small. But I think, again, this show is not just about like how these super enhanced individuals interact with each other, interact with the world, but it's like, how do they interact with themselves and these powers? And what we found is that almost none of them fully know the full extent of their powers, their abilities, or the restrictions on those abilities. And for the most part, they're all finding them out in real time. Like, maybe Kate knew more about her powers than other people. I'm sure Andre has a good handle on what his powers are from his father, but like everybody else is kind of just finding out, right? Maybe not Jordan, but like, it also depends a lot on privilege. Marie is the newest one. Like, she hasn't had like the formal training in her powers. She's been a Godokan, it seems like, for 4 weeks or some shit. Emma has been mostly restricted from these things by her mother, and been basically told that in order to like utilize her power, she has to eat a lot or throw up a lot. So like, for us as viewers, we're finding out about their powers as we go, week to week. And but the individuals are finding out at the same time. So like, I really just want to know the full extent of Emma's powers and how can she do that conveniently? We haven't seen that yet. I haven't seen one single convenient way that she's able to use these powers.
I think the most convenient thing is going to involve Pym particles in like a super suit, like an Ant-Man super suit. But that's a different IP, so I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah, I felt really bad for her this episode. It's, you know, she's such a good person. Like, she cares and she genuinely cares about Sam and wants to help him. And he just completely just threw her away, if you will. And it's just, it's so, so sad. Because at that point when he was talking to her, I thought maybe it was under Kate's influence, right? To like just push away everyone that you care about, sort of situation. And no, that was him. That was him. And even though he was having like the visions of Luke, who was trying to reason with him and what have you, Sam was just like, no, I'm going to do this. And Kate, I need you to make me not feel anything. Basically, I just need to like go and not have any second guesses. Crazy. Really bothered me how fast he flipped, but to Tristan's point, young men, dumbasses.
Yeah, I think the thing that like hurt her the most is he said that, you know, that she's just someone who wants to be liked or needs to be liked, and that she wasn't a hero because he always called her a hero, and that seemed to really bring on the tears. So maybe she just has to have Sam around her and make her feel bad, and then that's how she can conveniently like,
wow, you
know, maybe like. He could just send her a really bad voicemail or text message and she can just read it or listen to it. There you go.
Yeah, that's going to destroy your self-confidence and mental health. That's fantastic.
It's better than throwing up, though, I think.
Is it, though? Is it?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's much better than throwing up.
I think they're equal. No.
Don't think so. So last episode, we talked quite a bit about polarity. We were all like, I know I made predictions like, oh, we're going to see some backstory polarity. They're going to get more polarity stuff. We really didn't. So now, and he's not in great shape, but he didn't die. So Frank, I'll go to you first. What did you think about really just what we saw from polarity this season overall? And the revelation that, you know, this isn't a huge surprise, but the fact that he's using his powers is what ultimately is killing him.
So we've seen just a myriad of different perspectives of this boy's universe, from like the pageant parent of like Starlight to like Huey's dad, who's just like, just out of touch with reality and just like very sensitive and like weak, and to like now in this season, in this adaptation, we're seeing like a young superhero prodigy and a father of a legend, and like, and seeing that perspective of like, because like pretty much polarity is what Andre's going to be. I mean, he's yeah, he's being developed in under the tutelage of this great hero, or this powerful being. And I wish I saw more of like his backstory. But I also think we're going to see more of like his backstory next year, next season. Polarity really intrigued me because he's a guy that aren't just royalty. Apparently, he's the crown jewel of Vought. Now, how much of that is because of Andre, or how much is that because of like what polarity is and like what the thing Andre could be? I want to see more of like the juxtapose of like what polarity is. You saw a little bit of it in episode 6 of like how he knew what was going on with the woods and so on and so forth. But I want to see now that his son is in peril, is in danger, of what he's going to do. Last time we saw he's in the hospital fighting for his life. But I can see a scenario where he uses the last bit of his life to sacrifice and save his son. How he does it, I don't know. But I do want to see more of a backstory of like how he got to where he is. And I want to see more of like what he's going to do to save his son, because he's all about the image. He's all about like, this is what you can be. You can carry this polarity moniker further than I can and all of this. But I want to see like, how does this weigh compared to like what I can do to save my son and fuck all the expectations of what not only myself have for my son, but what Vaught has. So the potential of this storyline excites me. I just need to see more. I wish I would have saw more before the aneurysms and all of that. Also, I want to see too is like, is this gonna like make Andre more hesitant to use his powers? Like now he now knows that this is possibly hereditary now. I might be driving myself mad and having aneurysms and losing grips of my own power, and am I gonna put people at risk, people especially my loved ones. So I want to see next year or next season, like how much of Andre knowing this is he gonna like kind of hold back a little bit now and try to use more of his fighting skills without his powers. I don't know if I answered your question, but I was just kind of like just wondering all of that.
No, that was good. Tristan, we talked a lot about polarity last episode, and like I said, we made predictions and none of them really came true. And I know it's tough to make predictions with this show, and I don't think we're not exactly batting 1,000, but do you have any predictions for polarity next season? Do you think he'll have much of a role, or do you think this was kind of like their way of like, he's passing the mantle on to his son? And like, again, he didn't die, but do you see a future for polarity on this show?
I do, but not as polarity. I think we see more of his role as a guy on the inside who is either manipulating things in Vaught's favor or is kind of redeeming, I guess, the betrayal that Andre feels towards him, to like Frank said, do something to save his son as kind of like maybe his final act, because I agree with Brittany, like he's not long for this boy's universe. And I think oftentimes like we'll get introduced to a character this kind of late in the game relative to the whole universe as like a vehicle to expand somebody else's narrative. Like Polarity was put here for us to know more about Andre, right? Where Andre's future is going to be, what he can be as a hero, just as a man, how he feels about the school, Vaught, all these things. Like all these things are really through Polarity's perspective, through his eyes, or through the lens of Polarity. With Polarity pretty much sidelined permanently, like his only role is that as a father, right? And like he can't swoop in and save him without causing irreparable damage or further irreparable damage to himself. So I think, so this season was all about Andre kind of finding out who he was, what he values, how much skin he's willing to put into the game to like make the change that he wants to have. I think the next season is going to be about how far is he willing to risk reputation, status, ambition, his own health, in order to like ascribe and live out those values that he cares about so much. He can't do that really without Polarity there as like a guiding force or as a juxtaposition of what he doesn't want to be. So I think Polarity's role more so is going to be as father figure. And yeah, I can see him giving his life at the end, you know, for his son. For what cause, we don't know. That's what I really want to find out. And that really depends on Andre. How far is Andre willing to go into this to where Polarity has to step in and use the last 10% of his battery on him? That we have to find out. But like Polarity has to be involved in some type of way. And then I just, for him to be such an OG, like legendary figure, like I don't really know much shit about him. I know he's been talked about in the boys universe before, but like not to the point where we understand. Like I know more about Translucent than I knew like Polarity, right? And so we have to find out more about him, but only because to fully understand Andre, we have to know more about Polarity, because they're the same person, you know, they're in the same powers. He's the heir apparent to that suit. We need to know more about Polarity to understand that suit and understand Andre as a superhero.
Which is interesting too, because they talk about his legend, but like he was never part of the Seven and any other major teams that we know of. Because I know, I mean, what's his name was the first African American that got indoctrinated into the Seven? Yeah, A-Train. So he's a legend, but like, what level of a legend are we talking about here?
He was a movie star, also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we know now after Andre spoke with the doctor, Andre exhibits the same little ticks, little. The things that might be telling of the powers are having some sort of impact on your physical health. The actual tick itself, the kind of twitching of the finger when he was using his powers to try to get that metal baton or the, what do you call it? Taser thing, taser stick. I don't know what you call it, to use on Sam when Sam had him in a chokehold. Right. So I think I definitely feel like with Andre, he's going to try to be a little bit more careful about what he does and how often he uses his powers. Cause like you compare that to that of Kate, right, in her head. And it's very possible the pills that Shetty gave her were withholding her from using the full extent of her powers. Right. But Kate still has the bloodshot eyes when she pushes people to do her bidding. Right. So, and we know from Soldier Boy, good old Soldier Boy, that her blood vessels are like popping in real time. So, I mean, it's interesting that these two characters who claim they love each other, or one at least still does, that they're both experiencing some sort of similar physical issues with using their powers, right? Because I don't think that was really something that was really explored so much in The Boys, other than like A-Train, but that's because he was, you know, doping up on Compound V time and time again, but just their own powers without any enhancements, right? It's just really interesting to see this so far, and for, you know, young adults for that matter.
Yeah, it seems like with the powers, you know, all of it comes from Compound V. I think this is a, you know, much like a college, you know, person who's college, as you're maturing and, you know, you're growing or whatever, there's growing pains involved with the powers. And I think once you get to be like 25 or 30 or whatever, when you're kind of the prime of your life, then maybe you have, you know, full command of your powers and they don't have that negative impact on your life. Because you're right, we haven't really seen that much in The Boys except for A-Train. So, but in this show, literally every character, we see that, well, not every character, but most of the characters, we see the good and bad of having the power of these powers. So,
except Jordan, maybe.
I think that's just the larger theme that both The Boys and Gen V are trying to push towards, that like this over reliance on substance, like, yes, it can lead to like supernatural things, super things, but there's a downside to all of it. Like, even just using a little bit of it, especially
Butcher.
Yeah, especially when you're like abusing it, you know, for selfish reasons. Like, you have to be careful about what you put into your body. Like, that's just kind of like the meta commentary overall. Mm-hmm. Just like what you put in is going to have an effect. I would argue that more soups than we give credit have demonstrated the downside. Maybe like their powers are not physically hurting them or killing them, but it might be hurting other people at the same time. Starlight had to deal with the fact that her powers made her much stronger than Huey, and that she had to deal with the insecurity that he, you know, felt. Like, all these things, it's going to affect you in some type of way, I guess, is the larger point. These powers will affect you or those around you in some type of way that will make your own quality of life or quality of relationships decline.
Yeah.
For sure.
There's a trade-off, it seems, whether it's mm-hmm. now or later, you know, you're going to have to deal with it at some point. So mm-hmm. you mentioned Butcher there. So we got a mid-credit scene from Butcher, very brief scene, but I think it kind of obviously, you know, it'll lead to season four of The Boys, but I wonder a lot of things about the show, but I want specifically, I wonder, like, you know, Butcher is like, I think he's like in the woods. Is that where we're like, mm-hmm. kind of made to believe that he's like looking over the ruins of the woods?
Right.
Brittany, I'll start with you. What do you think Butcher is, what the knowledge he's gaining from his tour of the woods and how that will come into play in season four of The Boys?
I think we can perhaps confidently say at this point that it was he who was listening on the meeting between Mallory and Shetty back in the city, right? After all that was said and done, I think I'm pretty sure had to have been that, because we know that the boys know that Newman is a soup. And I'm pretty sure they're not on good terms with her in general, right? But with Mallory, it's like, hey, you know, keep an eye on Shetty. Well, you didn't keep a close enough eye, Butcher, because Shetty's dead. But we know that the woods kids were unleashed. Massacre occurred, of course. And with him investigating everything, obviously it's just trying to find the evidence and trying to expose Godolkin for what it really is. The same with Vought, whether they really had a hand in it or not. It's just whatever he can do to show that terrible things are being done to these kids, human or soups, it doesn't matter. This is just another thing to try to bring down Vought as a whole. And I think that's obviously going to be part of the storyline when it comes to the premiere of The Boys.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you nailed it there. Frank, what were your thoughts of seeing Butcher in this series?
When I first saw him on screen, the first question I have for myself is, how long does he have before he dies? Cause last time we saw him, we found out that the ramifications of taking that temporary V has fucked up his brain and shit. So I mean, how much of borrowed time is he on? Did he find a cure? What's going on with him? Also too is the woods. I mean, I know he was investigating that. I mean, what's the goal there, I guess, for me, regarding the woods? Like, they had a similar thing with Sage Grove and nothing came out of it. So are you hoping to try to connect Vault to this as well? Like, are you trying to bring evidence to, you know, to Congress when Homelander goes to trial? Like, I guess what is the goal here? So that's my question regarding the Butcher appearance in the finale.
Is Butcher going to find some trace of the virus?
Virus, yeah.
That the doctor and Shetty were working on. I can say pretty much confidently, I think that he's going to find that, and then he's going to have to deal with the conflict of, do I inflict this on all soups, or what do I do with this information, or do with this weapon? That's my biggest prediction. Like, otherwise, what other point is there for him to be there? Like, there's no soups there, right? Like, I'm pretty sure they clean house from the woods. So that's what I think.
Yeah,
I just wonder. Go ahead, Brittany.
I was just gonna say that poses a really interesting idea, because the fact that Annie or Starlight has given up being part of the Seven, obviously I don't know, I guess you could say either she's working with the boys or not, but if Butcher had any plans to do something with that virus and potentially even expose her, that's going to cause a lot of problems between Butcher and Huey, right? I mean, obviously Starlight in itself, but yeah.
I don't think he would do that, only because, like, what happened in the finale of Starlight fighting against, you know, Homelander and Soldier Boy. Like, the battle lines are drawn. Like, they know Starlight is on their side, and given, like, the evolution of Huey and Butcher's relationship, Butcher sees Huey as his little brother that passed away, And I don't think he'll vehemently do anything to directly hurt Huey at this point. I'm not saying he won't do any fucked up shit to like Supes in general, but I think Starlight at this point is untouched.
But I think that's the conflict. It's like Butcher's hatred for Supes is so high.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Shetty. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of like a mirror image. Like her, because of what she experienced, what she had to go through at the hands of Supes, like that hatred is so high that it's affecting like your morality, like your rationality. So yeah, I don't think he would set out to hurt Starlight, but if she's collateral damage and like his overall mission of getting rid of Supes,
so be it.
Like I'm not saying he would. Like I think maybe ultimately he says, you know what, no, like it's not worth it. But I definitely think it's something that he thinks about. And I definitely think it's something he truly considers. Whether he does it or not depends on a lot of other factors. But
and maybe even though Huey knows the repercussions that Butcher's facing with having to take Temp V so many times, I feel like Huey has, this isn't going to be like the last time that he'll take Compound V. I'm sorry?
To my Butcher or Huey?
Huey.
Huey.
Yeah. Huey. So again, if Butcher were to get any sort of anything about of the virus and try to expose it to the Supes, could potentially risk Huey as well if Huey continues taking V by any means.
Yeah. I forgot the Supes' name, the guy that put him in the dream last season. And he had to relive losing his brother. I think that fortified, like, yeah, I'm an asshole, but I'm not gonna do anything to jeopardize Huey and Huey's loved ones, including Starlight. I think that it wasn't a character turn per se, but I think that episode showed me that. And also when he knocked Huey out, I mean it was very insensical, but in his way, he was like, I'm not gonna let you destroy yourself and your future. I'd rather knock your ass out and me kill myself in the process finding these Supes than for you to be collateral damage. And I think Starlight represents that too for Huey. Now season two Butcher, I think so. But I think what he went through with reliving that shit with his brother, I don't think he'll do that to Huey.
We shall see.
So, in this episode, we didn't lose any major characters per se, but one of the characters lost an arm. Kate lost her arm. So RIP to her arm. But also, there's some other RIPs. We had one of the guards, Bob. You know, just getting brutally,
not Greg.
Yeah, Bob getting punched. You know, through the helmet. By Sam, definitely had a brain injury of some sort.
That brains that Sam pulled out, or just
I'm guessing other, that's what that was. Yeah,
other goodness.
I think so. Yeah. Gross. We also had another guard that Kate told the guard to eat his hands, and he started eating his hands. So that's probably not a good look for that guy. The social media Jeff, who. In one of the more surprising parts of the episode, turns out he was like an undercover agent or guard at Godolkin. Did y'all understand that? Because all of a sudden he's like, my cover's been blown, and then he killed one of the Supes. He put something, like it looked like he put like a coin or something in their mouth, and then he turned up the detonator. The ultrasonic whistle thing and blew their head up, and then of course Kate came back and made him kill himself on a live stream. But
the whistle was used to slow down the soup. And then he placed that tablet inside the mouth, and then he pushed a button on that remote to make its head go boom. Obviously he was aware of what was going on in the basement of Godolkin, right? So whether he was just like some sort of guard, but just like out in the open, if you will, and to make sure that the students stayed away from that area, I don't know, the very fact that Kate was able to find him, make him do the very thing to himself, you know, pop the tablet in his mouth. And she's doing this all while live streaming. And homegirl over here, who we still don't know what her powers are. I don't even remember her name at the moment, but you know,
Justine. Yeah. Her long-tailed friend. Yeah.
Harper or whatever.
You gotta have the best powers on planet Earth, man, because I ain't seen shit.
I mean, she just realigned her jaw after she got punched out by Jordan. But yeah, she's over here freaking out because of the social media guy. Now, whether it's because it is social media or maybe she is aware of maybe what's happening with the woods, or I don't know. I'm reaching.
No, she was freaking out because they lost Wi-Fi. And she's like, no,
but
know?
She was. No. She was freaking out first when she was watching the live stream. And she's like, Harper, are you watching this? So seeing like a social media person about to kill themselves on live stream, I think that's what she was freaking out for. But then, yes, eventually when the lockdown happened, they lost Wi-Fi. She's like, no one's going to know if we're dead or not. And it's like, wow, that hits this generation to a T. Because I can't tell you how many times my niece would call asking if our internet was down because her internet was down and she didn't know how to live life. I'm like, go outside and play. You're fine. Anyway. Yeah. So that social media guy probably definitely was a cover. He was kind of an asshole or just really annoying. I was just like, okay, you died.
That was just, to me, it was almost like out of place. Like, I don't know that we needed it's fine killing the guy. I don't mind killing the guy, but like,
wow.
It just like, it was like, wow. Like, so he's like undercover. It just, I don't know.
I think that speaks to the fact that at a school full of with soups who are, could be volatile at any moment, like that you need somebody who can like really quickly kind of blend in.
Yeah.
And then kind of neutralize that. Like I said, was it needed? Probably not, but I think it does kind of illustrate the gravity of just having like that many superhuman individuals on one place. And like, these are young people, they do stupid shit, or they could just jump bad at any moment. So like, yeah, he should, you know, probably check his peripheral vision next time, because I don't see how Kate is just sneaking up on everybody. But like,
okay, yeah. Goodness. Speaking of sneaking up on people, Maverick. Was it just me, or did I not connect the dots about him being Translucent Sun until the committee revealed, who better to replace someone from the Seven than Translucent Sun Maverick? I'm like, that was his name. I totally forgot about it.
When he was fucking the goat in episode 3, that's when I figured he was Translucent Sun.
That's the llama.
That's kind of the llama. Yeah, that's when I realized he's Translucent Sun. It has to be. That's just too random. That's just too on the nose of like, I mean, like father like son, right? Like, I don't know if Translucent Sun's fucking animals, but he'll hang out in bathrooms and shit like that. I figured that was his son after I saw that shit.
I mean, I felt like a complete idiot. I'm like, oh, duh, that should have been so obvious, but to me, it honestly wasn't. Anyone else feel that same way, or am I the only one here outside of Frank?
No, I agree, because I mean he was such a like a kind of throwaway character. He was like a kind of a joke character that is a character that I gave no thought to whatsoever. And so it's like, I mean, yeah, it should have been obvious because he had the same power, you know, like he was invisible except for if he had a baseball cap on or glasses or whatever. That's the only time you could recognize that he was even there. So yeah, so, I'm in the same boat.
So this poses the question. It just hit me right now. The boys made a big deal about Ryan being the first natural born son of Homelander, right? But then you also have two other characters whose fathers were soups, and they have the same exact powers as their fathers, at least. So like, could they narrow down the compound V of, hey, make sure he has the same powers as me, or are there other natural born soups that we're just not aware of?
Maybe it's one of those things where when they were born, they were given the compound V as well. I think Ryan was the actual natural born, like
okay, right.
coming out mama's womb, that he had he had powers. I think Maverick. And Polaris and Andre were given the V as well as kids or as babies.
It's just curious how they came out having the same powers as their parent.
Now it's unclear, but mm-hmm. I mean, this is me totally assuming because it was such a big deal with Ryan.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And Vault, but Vault comes off as like, they're in the know with everything. I feel like if Maverick and Andre were like natural born, that would have been a bigger deal in this series too.
Yeah, but I feel like if Vought was really on top of it, then they would know that Victoria Newman's a soup. But I don't think they do.
True.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Lots of interesting questions.
But that's different too, because what's name was protecting Victoria Newman. He didn't want that secret out.
Fair point.
So I think that's the big difference right there. She was protected from a baby, so like nobody knew.
Good point.
I did want to hit on a couple of just funny things I thought that were amusing. There's the part where Ashley, now there were two Ashleys. We get to see the two Ashleys. I'd forgotten of the fact that Ashley Barrett's assistant is also named Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
The trivia for the show reminded me of that. But now there's the part where the Godolkin trustees are looking for, they're trying to find pick a new member of the Seven, and they're looking at at Andre's his profile, and it said his additional skills include a British accent, which I guess is a shot to. Well, I mean, Tristan, you've been all over the accent of this guy, but apparently
that explains the actor, last episode.
Yeah, the actor is British, I believe, so that's the reason why he's not.
He's not British. I don't believe so.
I think he is.
I'll let you know. Continue.
Because I saw something like where he was just like with the cast members and he was speaking with a British accent. So anyway, Tristan, what'd you think about that? Did you think it was like an inside joke just for you? Or?
Yeah, I honestly thought that was aimed at me. definitely.
How quickly they could put that together.
But I just thought it was funny. Like clearly, because again, if I can hear the different accents, everybody else can hear.
Like, 100%.
It's something that people talk about. Yeah, he's from LA.
Yeah, he's from LA. But no. Let me finish. It could
he's British.
An Andrew Garfield sort of situation where Andrew Garfield was born in California, but he was raised in England. So very little is offered about Chance Perdomo. So
Chance Perdomo is British American.
Yeah, American born British actor. And he's known for roles in BBC shows. So,
okay, very well.
There we go.
So that there we go. Settled the case.
We put it together. Yeah.
Next. Gold stars for everyone.
Yeah. Another kind of little funny moment was when Kate and Sam are freeing the kids from the woods, and Kate asked the question to one of the characters, and she's like, "When's the last time you saw sunlight?" And he's like, "Is Gangnam Style still a thing?" I thought that was
crazy. Oh man.
Because I'd forgotten so about long. Gangnam Style. So,
Gangnam Style came out, let me think, what, back in 2012?
12, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
13. I'm not saying it's a lot.
I just thought it was a really funny reference. Like
again,
I don't know that I would ever would have thought of that ever again in my life, but they did.
It's a long time too. I mean, that just tells you how long the guy's been experimenting on, well over 10 years. So it's like, wow.
And he's a college age kid, potentially, or that's what it seemed like. So,
Hey, he was polite, though. He was polite. He's going up to people, excuse me. Rufus is being a dick, as usual. Excuse me, are you a soup? Yeah, asshole. Okay. Goes to the woman. Excuse me, are you a soup? No, I'm an adjunct professor, marketing. Okay, I'm a fry your ass.
Yeah.
Man, that was tough. That was tough.
One of the more cringy moments of this episode was when I love Rihanna. She's like my goddess when it comes to just music and just society. And like Rufus in one line kind of just ruined it for me. Like him trying to like lip sync Desperado. Mm-hmm. That shit was so cringy, dog. On the rewatch, I fast forwarded through that part because it was just very, very cringy for me.
Fair. And like, so, he was just like, oh, I have to listen to it all over again. God.
He was doing a reaction video. Come on. A live reaction. First time listening or first time watching. My last question for y'all. So I'll go to Tristan first. So we obviously know there's going to be a season two of this show, Gen V. We know that Gen V season one feeds into season four of The Boys. And it seems like, you know, the characters from this show are going to at least be referenced, maybe cameo here and there in season four of The Boys. But my question for you for season two of this, of Gen V, are we going to get a new cast? Are we, I mean, is Godolkin still a thing? What happens with God You? Is it just going to be a continuation of these characters and their plight in the world? Tristan, what do you think happens for season two?
I think God You, Godolkin is gone. I think that's done. And I don't think it was ever meant to be more than one season. Like, Gen V is just Gen V. It didn't have to be a college show. You know, it's just, these are a new crop, new generation of Supes with different ideals, different aims, agendas. Gayu is just, at this point, an extension of, like, the corruption of Vought. And, you know, a symbol of things that need to change and need to be torn down, systems that need to be eradicated. That's what we'll get. I think that's what we'll get out of season two.
Makes sense.
I think God You still will exist. It's just not going to be the focal point of Gen V season two. I think it will continue to be the front that it is for Supes to come. Okay, I mean, listen, okay, yes, there was a massacre, quote unquote, at God You, but we've got massacres that happen across the United States, like, on a daily basis, and you don't see any of these schools, like, shutting down, right? So I still feel that God You will be a thing. It's not going to be the focal point at all for the following season, because the main characters that we know are not there. They're going to be probably in their holding cells at Vought, probably tortured, probably made to do things that they're not going to like, because they're too much of a risk to be out in the open. So I think, because Vought is who it is, how powerful they are, they're going to keep that institution up and running, even though they were having plummeting enrollment, which we're kind of familiar with. Anyway, so that being said, it's still going to be there. It's still going to be there, because there's still Supes out there that are going to need their education.
Frank, what's your prediction for season two of Gen V, as far as, like, will Godolkin still be a thing in season two?
If not Godolkin, the idea of a Godolkin adjacent facility is still going to be in play, because, like, this is how Vault kind of, like, develops their heroes, right? And, like, and develops revenue. I mean, the Seven is only so much, you know, they use these kids. Whether it's in reality shows, movies, sponsorship, like, that's the way they fund money. And with the further testing of, like, of Supes and, like, trying to, like, create a new, you know, incarnation of the Seven. And I think in one of the episodes too, they talk about other groups outside the Seven as well, on the show too. So I think the idea of a Godolkin will still be in play. It's just too many Supes, like Brittany said. It's too, like, what do you put them? Like, you have to have, like, a farm system, I guess. Like, how Major League Baseball, like, you have the minor leagues. You have to have that, because it's just too many. It's just too many Supes out there that's unaccounted for if you don't have a Godolkin or a facility like that.
Yeah, I mean, Red River is still a thing. I don't think Sage Grove is a thing anymore, but if, you know, they'll bring it back when they absolutely need to reference
But more importantly, for PR purposes, like, Red River, mm-hmm. and Sage and Wood, these are like horrid things going on behind closed doors. You still want something PR wise that, mm-hmm. that, you know, because, I mean, parents are still giving their kids Compound V. That's not stopping. So you still need like a PR friendly version. Like, hey, like, you know, come to God You, or come to this university to where your kids can develop and only not only be a suit, but be part of society and do great mm-hmm. things. You still need that positive spin.
It's made for you.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't think that's going anywhere anytime soon. And yeah. I think that the episode where they had all those donors, like they'll give them buku money to that cause. That's not stopping. They're gonna find a way to get donors and get funding.
Yeah. And more so to the point, again, to reinforce why the four are inside VOD is that they'll spill the beans and expose it for what it really is. And keeping them away is going to keep that institution up and running. So, yeah. It is.
I just think that you need to expand God U, maybe have a community college, maybe like one in every town or something, and really try to, get your powers in 4 semesters or less kind of deal. One of those kind of things.
Start here, go far.
There you go. Start here, go anywhere.
Smart decision.
There you go. So is there anything that we haven't talked about that y'all want to touch on before we get out of here?
I mean, it's this whole season's just been wild, right? From start to finish. I think it started off with a bang. Obviously, for me, I'll say it again. It caught my attention very quickly, just because within those first 5 minutes of meeting this character, seeing what her powers were and how she unfortunately made her first kill. And then you're watching her progress through being a young woman, going to school and what have you. By the way, did these kids ever go to class? That's very college to not go to class, but I was, there seemed to be so much going on, like side questing, that they actually never physically made it to the classroom, but whatever, it's fine. So, Marie's got a benefactor. She's taken care of. She's good. But it's just been crazy from start to finish. And I'm invested in these characters. I'm very, very excited to see how the boys is going to pick up the story from here. Great idea on the creator's part to do the spinoff show that's going to feed into the main show. And so you're forced to become very familiar with both shows and all the characters. It's a wild ride. That's all I got to say. And I'm here for it, enjoying every freaking minute of it.
Frank, any final thoughts on season one of Gen V?
Fucking love it. Give me more.
Very succinct. Tristan, I'll give you the last word. What's your final thoughts on this show as we move away?
I don't really look at it as a spinoff show. I think it's a necessary show because if we're led to believe that Compound V is this widespread thing being given to kids across the nation, like it doesn't just stop with these people that we know from the big show, like it's everywhere. So I think it makes sense to like explore that phenomenon and how it, impacts young people, what I'm saying? So I just think this is a extension, and it's a necessary one. And yeah, man, it's a must watch every week. Like I'm waiting to get that notification that it drops on Amazon Prime. Like it is absolutely must see television, excellent show, excellent season. Thankful to have these new characters in our lives in this universe. And I think they hit it out the park.
No, I agree. I think it was they gave us an infusion of some new characters. And I mean, a show in The Boys that, really wasn't like stale by any means. The Boys is an exciting show. I feel like they've had 24 episodes and they're 24 for 24 in my mind. But to now give us additional characters with this kind of sideshow, which is going to obviously lead into The Boys, just very well done. And I can't wait till we get more of this. And I think season four of The Boys will drop at some point in 2024, which
I believe maybe... it's next summer.
Okay, next summer. And mm-hmm. then that means that we'll get season two of Gen V in 2025. Not sure, but
fingers crossed.
Yeah, this is well, the high quality.
Well, for Kate, it's just one fingers crossed.
There you go. Wow. Low blow. Low blow.
Wonder if she'll get like an artificial arm or something like Nebula. Yeah.
Well, or she gets just... like Bucky's arm.
Bucky's arm. That's what I meant to go. Say. Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Some kind of robotic arm or something. Yeah.
It's a hook. It's It's a claw. She won't be able to use her powers through it, though. I highly doubt that, but you know.
That is true. That is true. Good point.
Just cut off both arms. Just stop her.
That could have been the time that Marie blows up somebody's head. You know, that would have been maybe the moment to do that, but
She hasn't tapped into that power yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Lot to look forward to with this show, and I can't wait till we get to see more. But until then, we hope you enjoyed watching our reviews of the show, and now you know what we think about this season of Gen V. We want to know what you think about it, and Brittany, how can people tell us?
Go rewatch all of our episodes. Just do it. Go rewatch Gen V. Go rewatch all of our pod reviews and leave us a comment on every single one of those episodes. I know in the previous pod that we did, we had a very interesting prediction from a viewer, and we appreciate you taking the time to share with us. So yeah, like we appreciate everyone joining in the live stream, which is fun. Like shout out to Amber once again, who joined. And if you're watching the replay, leave a comment down below. And don't forget to subscribe and hit that notification bell. That way you know the next time we will be live streaming. And for this week, Justin and I will return with Amber and maybe George, not sure, to discuss the latest episode from Loki season 2. So tune in for that on Wednesday. But you can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at Watchers Basement. Be sure to follow us on all those platforms, as well as use the hashtag Watchers Basement to help grow our audience. Send us articles, memes, things that you want us to check out. We'll be sure to do so. And lastly, video podcasting is not your thing. We've got you covered with audio podcasts, usually available the next day after the video podcasts that are available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Be sure to follow us. Give us a 5-star rating.
Thank you, Brittany. I appreciate it. So for Brittany and Tristan and Frank, I'm Justin saying thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Have a good rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Laser eyes, laser eyes, laser.